That's a strange sight. A monkey wrench squeezing an egg. What's that all about? Testing, testing, testing. That's what scientists do. Testing, verifying, taking nothing for granted. Likewise, the Bible encourages us to test everything. Hold on to the good. Let's see what ideas withstand scrutiny scientifically and scripturally here on Truth in the Test Tube. Now here's program editor David Fisher to introduce today's guest.
Kenneth Samples is senior research scholar at Reasons to Believe. He is also an adjunct professor at Biola University. In his office in Covina, California, I asked Dr. Samples about the puzzling picture that Denny Milgaid mentioned a moment ago. I noticed your book, A World of Difference,
yes,
has an interesting photo on the front. There's a monkey wrench squeezing an egg. The subtitle is Putting Christian Truth Claims to the Test. When you tighten that wrench, which truth claim eggs crack along what fault lines?
I remember when Baker Books first came up with the cover image, we had quite a discussion in the office as to what does that mean and what is it implying. It grew on me because I think that worldviews have vulnerabilities, and they also have strengths. And so I think the image of that book is to kind of show a testing, a weighing, and evaluating. And so I think some worldviews are like eggs. They can crack under pressure.
Some are hard boiled more than others, aren't they?
I think some have a much firmer shell. Yeah, they're able to withstand a greater degree of pressure.
Now, your original interest was not primarily academic, I understand. A lot of your study along this line was motivated by a medical crisis.
Yeah, it was. Almost 13 years ago, I thought I had the flu and went to the doctor, and they thought I had brain cancer, which, of course, threw my whole life and my family's life in upside down. I thought as I was writing A World of Difference, I wanted to convey to people that these aren't just a bunch of academic ideas. These aren't just ideas that philosophers think about. But when I was very sick and thought I was on death's door, these were ideas that I was thinking about. These were ideas that helped sustain me and encouraged me. And so I want to kind of draw people in to the idea that thinking about reality and our big picture view is very important. So I tried to use the story of my illness to show that in the ancient world, they said philosophy bakes no bread. It doesn't have any usefulness. I think it does. I think when we're faced with the challenges of our life, where do we draw? What kind of strength do we draw upon? And for me, it's on Christ, and it's on Scripture, and it's on my biblical worldview.
How did you decide that? Did you check out other worldviews, too, before you decided Christianity was the answer?
Well, I did. You know, I grew up in kind of not a terribly devout Catholic family, but we did go to Mass, especially on the important days. You know, I didn't really understand a lot, but as a youngster, I began to kind of consider Eastern mysticism, and I also looked pretty carefully at some of the naturalistic, atheistic, skeptical arguments. So I was a student in philosophy, and my sister became much more serious about her faith. But she was reading C.S. Lewis. She gave me a copy of Mere Christianity, and I began reading that. I would say my interest in apologetics, though, was almost immediate as I embraced Christ, because when I was at the university, we had lots of skeptical professors. So it was almost immediate upon becoming a serious Christian that I needed some ammunition to defend my faith and to go about weighing it.
So can you give a brief description of pre-modern, modern, and post-modern?
I would say that Christianity emerges in the pre-modern world. Modernism begins right about the time of the Renaissance and runs up roughly to the end of World War II or the fall of the Berlin Wall. And then after that is post-modernism. I would say that modernism has very high standards about reason and truth and rationality.
And man is the measure of all things.
So modernism would say that we can know truth. Man is the judgment of that truth, no longer the church, no longer the Bible. And then postmodernism becomes much more skeptical of the claims that are made. And you move from knowledge to opinions. Whereas I think actually pre-modernism, Christianity has a much more flexible place for the place of faith and reason as they work together.
What are the strengths and weaknesses of these different views?
Let's start with postmodernism and work backwards. I think it's good to be skeptical. I think it's good to not accept ideas without critically looking at them. And I think that that's a pretty good thing about postmodernism. The bad thing is that it seems now that everybody's view is as good as anybody else's view. There is extreme relativism involved, not just in knowledge, but in morality. And so there is no place, I don't think, where you can really anchor things. The good things about modernism, I think the view that we live in a rational world and human beings can make contributions to that world. But I think modernism, their claims are exaggerated. Human beings are placed in a position of having authority where I don't think they have quite that strength. Pre-modernism, certainly the ancient world didn't have the science and technology that we have. There were certainly lots of religious ideas in that world. But I think the pre-modern Christian worldview has a much more appropriate place for faith and reason and knowledge and morality. And so I think the pre-modern worldview does a better job of kind of placing these issues in an appropriate context.
And the modernism claimed to know too much.
Yes.
Whereas postmodernism claims to know very little.
Almost
for sure.
Nothing, yeah. That's exactly right. And I think, again, when we think about apologetics, my central role is as an apologist. I've got to be thinking about the culture in which I live and the kind of questions people are going to ask.
So some truth claim eggs get scrambled pretty badly.
I think so, yeah. And I think the worldview, in some sense, is like an egg. You can pressure it, you can weigh it, you can measure it. And that's kind of, I think, the approach we should take to worldviews. Is there a possible knockout blow that any of these worldview possibly has? And what are the vulnerabilities and the strengths of the various worldviews?
When I was in high school, they taught us that the only things that existed were matter and energy.
Wow.
So more recently, we've discovered there's information that tells the matter and energy how to behave.
That's right. And not only is there this information, but humans have the capacity to track that intelligibility. It's, again, the Christian worldview would be that God created his world with logos and nomos, and he created us in his image, and then he networked us so that we can track that intelligibility.
Where does the force fit in?
In sense of force meaning?
Star Wars.
Oh, yeah. I think it's an incredibly interesting phenomenon. I think people like to hear people tell stories. And I think people like the idea of imagination. And I think Star Wars and kind of our fascination with science fiction allows us to kind of think about what could be and what is. And these movie producers are just geniuses at creating something that seems so magical to us. But I don't think there's any doubt that the metaphysics and maybe the ethics of Star Wars certainly lies in kind of the Eastern mysticism.
Okay. You quote C.S. Lewis, "I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else."
Yeah.
What did he mean by that?
I think it's a great quote. I have to say, Lewis was one of the first Christian authors I ever read. And there were times where I'd read his work and I would just mesmerize by how he would say things. But I think he's saying there that it's not just one piece of evidence that convinces him or convinces me that Christianity is true, but that if you adopt the Christian worldview, then all of these meaningful things begin to make sense. Why I have human longing, why I am a broken human being, why I yearn for eternal life, why human beings are, as Blaise Pascal said, great and wretched, why the universe had a beginning and why the universe is intelligible. If you adopt the Christian worldview, then Christianity begins to illumine all of these challenging and difficult areas, just as the sun illuminates our daily life. Mm-hmm. And I like that. It implies kind of a cumulative case approach to apologetics and an abductive reasoning. So I like the way Lewis describes that very much.
A number of strands of evidence fitting together to make a rope rather than a string.
That's exactly right. And I will often challenge my skeptical friends by saying, what is the best explanation for our human condition and the world in which we live? And I think Lewis did that marvelously.
What would you say is a closing challenge to the person who thinks all worldviews are equally good? Why would you convince them there's a world of difference among them?
Many of the early scientists had Christian orientations, and they believed that testing was a good thing. I mean, Paul the Apostle says, test all things and hold on to the good. That idea of testing had a big influence on the emergence of science. I think the only way to know whether that egg is going to be able to stand up to pressure and all of those things is by testing. And I can't think of a better way of discovering truth than weighing and measuring and evaluating and not looking just at the worldview you've been given, but looking at these alternatives. What's the best argument on the other side and how does it hold up? Testing.
It's easier than ever to contact us, thanks to our IT guys. Just click the icon to tell us or ask us anything. Or, if you prefer email, remember our address, truthtest@truthinthetesttube.org. That's truthtest@truthinthetesttube.org. And join us again for Truth in the Test Tube.